As we wrap up a week like no other in Tucson, Arizona, and as the community begins its healing process, I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, January 14th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, where all of the broadcasts from week one and this week, week two, along with our national interview last Saturday night on Red Eye Radio, where we paid tribute to Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, are archived, and it's very easy to retrieve. If you have a comment, story idea, or question, email me from the BuckmasterShow.com website. On Fridays, the Buckmaster Show turns to Friday Focus, where we bring in a newsmaker into our studio for questioning by myself and one of our reporters' roundtable regulars. This week, it's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. And this week, the Friday Focus features Tucson City Manager Mike Letcher. Our Friday Reporters' Roundtable, which will be devoted to the assassination attempt on Gabrielle Giffords, will be coming up in about 20 minutes here on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Letcher, Mike Letcher, good to see you. Thank you for being with us.
Well, it's good to be here. Good to see you.
It's been a very difficult week. Tell me where you received the news last Saturday morning of this assassination attempt.
I received the news about 10 minutes after the event occurred, and my deputy city manager, Richard Miranda, called me. He's the former police chief, mentioned to me, obviously reviewed with me what happened. It was just shocking. At first, you're stunned and you're thinking this can't be true. And then we, during the rest of the day, I got updates from Fire Chief Patrick Kelly. Both Richard Fimbres, our vice mayor, because our mayor was obviously tied up at the hospital, and I split with the council. I took some council members, he took others to keep them informed. So as we got news, I was also calling council members because there was a lot of confusion. And a lot of
with those initial reports.
With those initial reports, a lot of confusion and misinformation. And so we made sure our council was updated on the most recent information. But again, you know, very, very tragic events at that time.
Was there an emergency control center that you went to? Or
I didn't go to the emergency control center. Okay. As I mentioned, Richard Miranda, former police chief, was really on site. It was handled by, and I want to give the police and our fire and also our dispatchers extreme credit, especially our chief, Roberto Villasenor. You know, we've got a great police force, a great fire department. These guys know what to do. For me to get out there, I'm not a first responder. They did really great, and I think Richard, with his past experience, was right on top of things. So I can't say enough about what our team did and in responding.
I wanted to ask, as a city manager, you're often in the focal point of a lot of criticism and a lot of public talking and debate and things like that. I'm just wondering, from the inside, what does that feel like as a person? And then what do you want people to know about all this, what we were now calling heated rhetoric? I mean, what does that do to a community from your point of view, having been the focal point?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things, Sarah, is that we, in this country, it's really, being a city manager or any other public official, it's hard sometimes to separate the fact that we have a job to do, just like anyone else. And I think that a lot of it comes, the rhetoric comes from folks not really taking the time to kind of understand. And maybe we don't do a good job of communicating what we're doing or why it's being done. And that creates a lot of misinformation, and it creates, then with that is trust. So I think one of the things that I work very hard on is I say to people, look, I'm not smart enough to be devious, but I'm just trying to do my job, and I'm just like any other human being, I'm going to make mistakes. But the great thing about it, by having transparency, which I think our council has made it very clear to me that we need to have, and it's my personality. If there's something that we're not doing right, just tell us what we're not doing right. If you've got a better idea, let's do it. So the problem is that people can criticize, but they don't have a solution, or they throw out a solution that just really won't work, just in order to make a point and create more chaos. I've got a real problem with that.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, well, I was just thinking, and it seems from my point of view that the and I'm trying to avoid using the word target, but that the focal point, so I'll use that instead, is that it becomes personal. It's not that this is a bad policy or that's a bad idea. It's that so-and-so is a buffoon or so-and-so is an idiot. So how do we get past, or can we get past, that personalization rather than talking about ideas and policy and solutions?
I think, you know, how we get past that, I'm not in any way can have a solution, but I think the really thing is focus on the debate and the merits of the debate and the options that are being presented. And we're all part of this democracy that we have, and that means that it's a situation where we need to participate. So we all need to collectively look at what's being proposed. The mayor and council is our political leadership in this community. They are out there. They're walking point for all of us. My job is to provide them with information. The job of the public is to review that and say, well, have you looked at some other options? But at the end of the day, if we all focus on what's best for Tucson, we're going to make the right decision. It's not about Mike Letcher. It's not about the mayor. It's not about an individual city council member. It's really about what is in the best interest for this community. And let's focus on that. And I think generally that's what I've seen. I think there has been some instances where it's been personalized, but I separate who I am, Mike Letcher, from the city manager. At some point I'm not the city manager any longer. And the only time I have a problem is where it deals with that I'm lying or I'm something that is personal.
Real personal.
then I have a problem with that. But if it's just the normal stuff that I've been through in the last 30 years, which is, you know, these numbers are they right or are they wrong? But it's not personalizing issues that I doesn't bother me. But if it becomes personal, that's when I have a problem.
We are talking with Mike Letcher, the Tucson City Manager, on the Buckmaster Show, and I am joined in studio by Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. One more quick question about security. City Hall is, of course, a wide open place. Are you doing some reviews of the security procedure there?
We're not doing any reviews of our procedures at our building, but we are looking at the council meetings. Whether or not we should change some of the procedures there. I know the clerk's office, Roger Randolph, our clerk, is working very closely with police and our facilities people to look at if there, you know, needs to be some changes with security in that facility. But, you know, I don't think you'll see a lot of changes at City Hall in terms of coming into the building.
I want to quickly go to the budget to help balance next year's projected $55 million city budget shortfall. You have once again proposed a tax on Tucson renters. Not very popular the first couple of times it's been proposed, but you think that might as well put it on the table, right?
And again, one of the things, the reason that we're proposing that tax is that we have, this wasn't reported in the paper, we have over, $35 million in cuts, additional cuts we've made collectively over the last since the last 2.5 years, we've cut almost $100 million out of the budget. Almost 1,000 positions are gone. And the mayor and council have said they didn't want police cut 10%. Police have already been cut at $10 million. Fire's been cut at $5 million. That's about $15 million of the $37 million. And so they're not reaching the target of 10%. It's about $7 million. The rental tax generates about $10 million, so I put it out as an option in order to try to close our gap. But it's going to be debated over the next 3 to 4 weeks, and, you know, we'll see where we go again. Again, it's not something that I know is popular, but I think it's something that had to be put on. Most cities have it. We're only one of two cities. Flagstaff's the only other that doesn't have it in the state. So we need to look at it again and see where we go.
Mike, I know that you've talked a lot about how people can get involved with the budget process and that you're trying to come to the council with ideas earlier in the process than has been done in years past, at least historically. Can you talk a bit about how people, regular citizens, can get involved in setting these budget priorities and figuring out what can be cut, what might need to be cut, even though we don't want it to be cut? How can people get involved?
Sarah, we have a pretty extensive information on our website. at TucsonAZ.gov and just punch in budget, and they can go in and look at it. We're going to have a series of about 4 to 5 meetings, study sessions on this with the council. They should go to their council offices. They can call into the council. They can email the council. But they should really look at these options. And that's exactly why we do it. This is not the budget. And that's what I have to tell people. These are just options. We're not proposing that these things go into the budget. We are just asking the community and the council to give me direction so that whatever ends up being decided in the next 4 weeks, I can start working on the budget. So when we submit the budget, that'll be submitted sometime in April, we have a higher probability of that budget being able to be approved by the majority of the council, and we can get on the business for next year.
Yeah, because this was part of a 100-page report, I believe, talking about the budget, right? So there are a lot of options.
John. There's a lot of options.
A lot of options there. The RTA and SunTran, could that come back in 2011 that perhaps RTA would take over management of SunTran, or is that completely off the table right now?
Well, one of the things, Bill, is the council office has asked us to evaluate and match SunTran, the proposal from the RTA, with what we've got for some options on cutting SunTran. I'm not sure exactly what the council is going to do with that information, but, you know, anything is possible. I know my direction from council was pretty clear. They gave some parameters that the RTA couldn't meet, and they told me never to bring that back until those parameters were met. But again, I think we have had a request from the council office to look at that, and I think it's going to be discussed not this week, this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. It'll be discussed, and we'll see where it goes.
Quick follow-up. What parameters, bottom line, were they talking about?
Well, I think bottom line is that there were some issues, as I recall, with governance of that system. We were still, and this is one of the things that was missed in all of the debate, the city was still going to pay 85-90% of the cost, and we were going to lose control, weren't going to have a vote in terms of, we were one vote in terms of how this system would move forward in the future. Now, you think about that, that has some problems. The other thing that was missed is that they were going to, every year, increase the cost of the system by the gross domestic product, which means our costs would have gone up every year. We're going to get immediate $3 million savings, but then our costs were going to go up every year. Also, it was never resolved. If we increase bus rates like we do now to offset our contribution from the city, and instead it's picked up by the riders, they didn't resolve what was going to happen with that money. So there were a lot of huge, and I should say huge, gaps in that proposal. And I think the council wisely said, look, until some of these things are resolved, don't bring them back.
I wanted to ask about the budget sustainability. I know when we spoke before, you had several options to present to the council, here's if we do X, here's what it looks like in the future. If we do Y, here's what it looks like in the future. Can you talk a bit about the need for budget sustainability, in the sense that we're not just planning for 1 or 2 years, we're planning for the long term?
Right now, Sarah, we're going to be planning for looking out over 5 years. The council, starting next week, we will submit a forecasting model, first time the city's had something like this, that shows what you do this year, what does it mean over 5 years. And simply what it means is that why we need to get stable, because we have a structural deficit. What's a structural deficit? Well, we're spending more money than we're bringing in, and we're closing that gap by temporary measures, selling property or doing other things, using our reserves. And so if you don't fix the structural deficit, it's simple math. Every year our costs go up. You know, gasoline is more. Health insurance, even though employees now are picking up more health insurance, that's more. Pension costs go up. So you've got these costs going up. At the same time, you're trying to fix the structural deficit. And what happens is, if you don't fix the structural deficit, those costs add to the deficit, and eventually you end up on a very, very slippery slope. So what we've said to the council, the quicker we become stable, then we can focus on just dealing with those costs, those fixed cost increases that we're going to have every year. So, you know, we may be able to do it this year, we may be a year away, but we've got to get there very quickly.
We only have about a minute to go before we go. I'll let you go, Mr. Letcher, and then go to our Friday roundtable. Downtown, do you expect the Rio Nuevo board? Do you see more oversight coming from Phoenix, from the legislature?
I think the Rio Nuevo, I was really pleased the Rio Nuevo board started to approve the IGAs that the mayor and council has been working on with them. And I think I see it. I was in a meeting recently this week with two of the board members because we're reviewing some proposals that we've received on the I-10 east side properties. And it's a whole different attitude. I met with the board chair this week, and I think that it may seem simple that some pieces of paper make a difference, but I think we are getting our act together. Now, what the legislature does, I think it's a matter of us being able to say we're working together is a huge step forward, and the legislature is going to have to do what the legislature is going to do. But I think the most important thing, we're together here in Tucson, and I think the leadership of the council and the Rio Nuevo board to sign those agreements and get them moving ahead was probably the most monumental things that happened in this past year.
Well, that's very positive, and we'll leave it on a positive note. Mike Letcher, the Tucson City Manager, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show today.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks a lot. We've got the Reporters Roundtable coming up after this break.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroAmorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and on the World Wide Web anytime at buckmastershow.com. It's time for the Friday Radio Roundtable. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable, Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star, and Mark Evans is here from TucsonCitizen.com. One story, of course, continues to dominate the news both here in Arizona and around the nation and around the world. The assassination attempt on Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords last Saturday and the death of U.S. District Judge John Roll and five others, including a 9-year-old girl who was born on 9/11 and Giffords staffer Gabe Zimmerman. How do you begin to heal after something like this? And with that question, I throw that out to Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com.
I don't know. You try to do what all we're doing in the press, which is give people as much information about what happened as possible and evaluate how it happened and why, and then proceed to try and figure out the ways that maybe you can prevent it from ever happening again, and then try to comfort the people who have been impacted by it. there are some people that won't be healed by this for a long time. My wife was at the shopping plaza. She got there right after the shooting, but before police had arrived and closed off the shopping plaza, and she ended up stuck there for about 2.5 hours. Now, she was far enough away, she never saw any of the carnage, but the police searched her vehicle. They came into the store that she was in with, you know, SWAT members with assault rifles. There were people running around hysterical, and it deeply affected her. So, you know, you got to soldier on, but I think the key to healing is understanding, and I think that's what we're all trying to do in the media, is to give people the information they need to help them do that.
Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News.
You know, Bill, right after this happened on Saturday, I received an email from a group of women in Green Valley who are very politically active, and they said, Dan, we want the newspaper to help us start a discourse in the community on being civil, because we've had some really tough issues down there. And they have actually, along with about 50 other people, taken out an ad, which will be in Sunday's newspaper, saying, this is what we need to do. We need to get together. We need both sides, of course, recognize there are some issues we will never agree on, but we need to talk, we need to be civil. So I'm hoping that this is the start of something that will heal our community down there.
Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star.
Well, I think that one thing we can do is extend empathy to each other and to just cut each other a break. I wrote an editorial this morning kind of coming out of a phone call I got yesterday from a woman from out of state who called the editorial department at the Star and was just going on and on and on about how President Obama could leave out two of the, not mentioned by name, two of the men who helped to subdue the gunman. And she just kept going on and on and on and on. And it just was so negative and so dispiriting. And I just pleaded with her, please just try to take something positive from this. And she just kept saying, yes, but, yes, but. And so I think when we talk to each other, when we talk about each other, just try to understand that the other person is in pain probably, and really everyone could just use a break.
This is an extended edition of our Friday Roundtable. We'll be taking a break within about a minute, but we'll come back after that in about 4 minutes to continue the discussion. But quickly, before the break, how did this change at TucsonCitizen.com? How were you kind of flying on the seat by the seat of your pants, to say the least, on Saturday, Mark Evans?
I don't know if we have enough time left before the break to
we
go
can
over
pick,
that.
We'll pick it up after the break. But
one of my bloggers was one of the first people to get the news out online. He had got a couple of text messages that there had been the shooting and Gabrielle Giffords had been shot, and he posted something on my site within 10 to 15 minutes after the shooting, and it was one sentence, Gabrielle Giffords shot in the head. And that was all he knew, and that's all he posted. 15 minutes later, my site crashed, and the site was up and down all day long as the enormous interest just flooded the site as people tried to get information about it.
Okay, we're coming up on a break. It's coming up on 9:30. This is the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and thebuckmastershow.com anytime, 24/7.
Listen to this.
You're tuned into Tucson's best choice for local talk.
I love it, huh? Little back and forth, witty repartee.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton insists the U.S. and China need each other, so it's best that they cooperate more.
We are in the same boat. And we will either row in the same direction or we will unfortunately cause turmoil and whirlpools that will impact not just our two countries, but many people.
Clinton's speech this morning comes less than a week before Chinese President Hu Jintao is slated to pay a visit to the U.S. A state of emergency has been declared in Tunisia. The president has fired the country's government and called for new elections amid protests that have turned violent. Funeral services will be held later on today for John Roll. He's the U.S. District Court judge killed in last weekend shootings in Tucson, Arizona. Retail sales last month showed the biggest holiday shopping gain in 6 years, according to the National Retail Federation. the most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Good news, ladies. Ugly brown spots on your skin might feel like they're the end of the world, but they're not. You can fade those brown spots from view with Dr. Perry's Night Skin Cream. New customers can try Night Skin Free. Diminish the appearance of brown spots on your face, neck, and hands. Try Night Skin Free. Call 1-800-509-4152. Pay only shipping and handling. One per household. Call for your free Night Skin. Call 1-800-509-4152. That's 1-800-509-4152.
I'm all about the three S's: stock up, save money, and simplify.
Member Renee Chevalier on the Sam's Club January Stock Up event.
I stock up now and save big on the basics we use all the time. Detergent, paper towels.
Health and beauty products, too. Save over retail on brands like Tide, Bounty, and Colgate. And sample all the Sam's Club values and benefits January 12th through 25th with no membership required.
Now that's simple.
Not a member? Join at Sam's Club or samsclub.com. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. It's 34 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show and the Friday Radio Roundtable. Dan Scheer is with us from the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, Mark Evans of the TucsonCitizen.com, Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star, and on the phone we'll be going to Jim Nintzel in just a moment from the Tucson Weekly. Jim is preparing to cover the funeral, the story of Judge John Roll. That funeral is coming up at 10 o'clock here in Tucson. But Dan Scheer, quickly, some of the first photos of Gabrielle Giffords being taken away on the gurney to the medevac helicopter. Your paper actually acquired those photos first. How did that happen?
Well, there's a freelance photographer named James Polka who lives in Tucson. He had received a phone call, a recorded phone call from Gabrielle Giffords' office saying she's going to be at that Safeway. He went to attend it. The shooting had happened by the time he arrived there, but he started taking some shots, including one of her on the ground being helped and then being taken to a medevac helicopter. He ran into a reporter of ours at the scene who he attends church with. The reporter said, "Call Dan at the Green Valley News." I secured four of those photos for our newspapers because most of us do not get AP. And after that, I said, "Okay, now here's what you need to do. You give the story, you give the photos to AP, and you give them to the world." And within an hour, so I connected him with AP, and within an hour, those photos were all over the world.
Let's go to Jim Nintzel, the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you doing? It's been quite a week for all of us in the media. Some of your thoughts, Jim.
Well, let's been obviously a week of tremendous emotional experience for, I think, the covering the story who live here in Tucson.
Jim, your cell phone's kind of cutting in and out. Can you talk a little closer into the, not into the microphone, but to the acoustic part there?
Yeah, sure. Is that a little better there?
Yeah, that's a little better. Tell me something about what you're doing today. I know that you're over at the, as they're preparing for the funeral for Judge John Roll.
Well, actually, I discovered they had very limited media access to the funeral, so I'm headed over to UNC for the morning press conference over there now to discover the latest on the conditions of the congresswoman and the other folks who were in the Saturday's event.
One quick question for you, Jim, and then we'll let you go. It was my first question to your colleagues here on the Friday Radio Roundtable. Give us your opinion on how we begin to heal, Jim.
Oh, you know, I think it's just going to be an ongoing process. I think the president certainly provided a, you know, I spoke to a lot of folks coming out of McHale Center on Wednesday night, and they felt as though the president had said, you know, the right thing. It was inspirational and uplifting, and I think it provided that emotional catharsis for the community, a way for us to start processing the very complicated emotions of sorrow and anger and helplessness, I think, that comes in the wake of anything like this.
Jim, thank you very much for sharing some of your thoughts, and we'll see you next Friday here on the Friday Radio Roundtable. Thanks, Jim.
You got it, Bill.
Okay. Let's go now to Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, where were you when you heard this news? And it's no secret that the Arizona Daily Star has had cutbacks over the last few years. You have been trying to get by the paper with less. That's
right.
That's no secret. A story like this of just monumental proportions, how did the Star go about covering this thing?
Well, I personally heard about it from a friend and coworker, Joyce Birchie, who called me. I was just hanging out in my house on a Saturday morning, and she called and said that she had overheard someone in Target, who seemed to be a medical person, saying into his cell phone that the congresswoman had been shot. There were other people who were dead, mass casualties. And so she, being the good journalist, immediately called. And I called our city editor, who had also heard about it, and just out of instinct, we just go to the newsroom, because that's what you do. And in terms of the staffing and the cutbacks, everyone just, your instincts kick in as a journalist, and you go to where you think you're needed. I know the editor sent people out to different places, and people have been in the newsroom just nonstop, surviving on pizza and soda, and just giving everything we can to cover the story, get the information out there.
Dan Scheer, how does a smaller paper like Green Valley handle this?
Well, the same thing Sarah said. We put everybody on the streets that we could. We heard it first by a Twitter feed. I happened to be in the office just for a couple of hours. We went ahead and sent somebody immediately to the hospital, another person to the scene. Then I had somebody doing what community newspapers do best, and that is getting local reaction. And we did find a couple of local stories coming out of this. And so on day one, because it happened on our cycle, we published twice a week, and it happened on Saturday, we publish on Sunday. We went with a little bit of AP, but a lot of what our people were gathering at the scene. Then we back off and we go for the local angles. How are our people being affected by this? And one thing I've learned this week, Bill, is that Gabrielle Giffords made everybody she talked to feel like they were the most important person in the world. And she was down in our area quite often. Remarkable person. And I've had people coming in all week crying and just wanting to tell their stories about their interactions with her. So we are telling some of those stories in the paper.
Mark Evans, the TucsonCitizen.com relies so much on community reporters, bloggers, for want of a, well, how do you refer to your people?
I try to call them citizen journalists.
Okay, citizen journalists. Did they spring into action when needed?
No, the people that are writing for us are not really breaking news reporters. Some of the people who write for me have connections or personal connections to the shooting or connections to Gabriella Gifford's office or to the Democratic Party, and they had some information that way. The problem that we had Saturday and Sunday is that the enormous traffic load was causing my site to crash, and so because of that, they couldn't get on. So I had to come up with a plan B on how Tucson Citizen was going to be relevant and provide the community some information that would be helpful for them to learn what was going on and to understand what was happening. But thankfully, I am a member owned by Gannett, and so I have access to Gannett content, and I was able to use a lot of the coverage from the Arizona Republic, USA Today, to keep the site updated and to keep it relevant. I do want to give some credit to the Star, because they are the last daily media in town. They do have an overtaxed newsroom, but they are overwhelmed right now in terms of numbers with the national press that are in town, even the Republic. There's just hundreds and hundreds of reporters in town, and yet the Star's not getting beat on any of these stories. They're doing a phenomenal job, and I also want to give them credit for Saturday, because I unfortunately got into part of the get it out, get it first hysteria, and so when NPR and CNN had said that Gabriella Giffords was dead, I put that on my site and attributed it to NPR and to CNN, and the Star didn't, and at the time I was just kissing that the Star, they were late getting into the story, they were late getting the story up on their website, and they weren't breaking that news. And it turned out the Star is the one that brought us all back down to earth and reported she wasn't dead. They were the ones that stopped the hysteria, and they deserve a lot of credit for that.
You know, Mark, I'm going to disagree with you there, because we had reports from inside, including one person in the trauma center and a police officer, NPR, which is trusted, CNN also, and I would not say that it was hysteria. I do understand the Star waiting. I think they were just late, frankly, because they are on a lot of things, but I think that it may look noble that they were waiting, and perhaps that's what they were doing, but I think the fact is that the media that went with that report did so, I think, with a sense that, yeah, it was accurate, that they had enough to say that this was an accurate report. Of course, it turns out not to be, but I don't want to slam them. I don't think it's fair.
I just want to say, I work at the Star. I was in the newsroom at the time. And while this is all very interesting to us, I don't know that it's really interesting to people outside who are grieving and mourning people who are dead and friends that they have lost. So I just would hope that we can, instead of put aside the part of the business that, yes, we are competitors, and yes, we do want to get things first and get it right, but this is not the time. I'm sorry, I'm getting upset.
That's okay.
It's not the time to play who's better and who we need to come together.
Well, I disagree, because these types of things are going to happen again and again and again. We need to examine why did we make the decisions we made, and what pushed us, and what can we do better next time. We need to talk about it.
Okay. We're going to bring John C. Scott into this. John will be contributing on occasion here on the Buckmaster Show. He's one of the media contributors, along with Mark Evans and Sarah Garrett Gasson, Dan Shear, and Jim Ninsel. John C. Scott has been covering news for nearly 50 years. He's been in this town for more than 40. He's been general manager of this radio station, KJLL. Of course, John has a very popular afternoon political talk show for over 20 years, from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. John, some of your thoughts on this crazy week.
Well, it's been such a difficult week for everybody in your control room there and here in ours. It's just been so difficult. Most of us all knew Gabrielle Giffords very well, knew her staff. Many people knew John Roll. The tragedy of the 9-year-old and burying her yesterday has just ripped the heart and guts out of just about everybody in this town. The one thing I would say, I've been listening to conservative talk locally here, and I want to say to them, it's not about you. They've been so defensive. It's not about Sarah Palin. It really isn't about who broke it first or who didn't. This is about a town that's trying to heal itself. It's about a town that's trying to bury its dead this week. And then I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to try to understand why this happened, as if we ever will. I've just seen the right so defensive. I've seen some of these people talking about themselves. They are a part of this community, too. And my suggestion is, as was mentioned by the Star reporter, this is about us. It's about our town and how we bring ourselves together. I heard Fox News criticizing the crowd at McHale. It's not about Fox News. It's not about them. It's about us and how we handle it. And it has hurt us perhaps more than almost any place in the country. So we'll try to heal and bury our dead and then try to discover, you know, what happened here and why it happened. And we must do that. I agree about that.
John, thank you very much for weighing in on some of your comments on really this monumental week. Mark Evans, the sheriff of Pima County, has touched off a national debate on free speech and talk radio. What did you think of the sheriff's comments?
I thought they were inappropriate and out of place for the situation in which he made them. It was the 6 p.m. Press conference in which people were there trying to get as much information as they could about what happened and what the police were doing to investigate it. And he put a political spin on it without really having the information necessary to know whether or not politics played any role in Loeffner's actions. In fact, it's pretty much known now that that Loeffner was the right had no influence on Loeffner, at least not in the things that he's written and the things that we've been able to see, what he's been posted online and what's been released by the police department. And I think it was the wrong time. There's probably a time to have that debate about civil discourse in this. In our nation and the effect that that may have, that was the wrong time, and I think he's paying a price for that in the criticisms that he's getting. Now, whether the criticisms have gone completely over the top and are too defensive, that's also another argument, and I would agree with John C. Scott about that.
I do think the sheriff, I liked what the sheriff said, and I'm glad he actually said it. I may be the only one at this table that's going to agree with the sheriff. Do you agree with the sheriff and myself here, Sarah?
I agree with what he said. I don't think he identified anyone in particular. But on the other hand, and we wrote about this as well, the shooting and the motivations of this specific individual are things that we may not ever truly understand, because some things just can't be understood. On separate from that, and I think it does add to the whole environment, is it has just gotten just so caustic and so, and I've used this word many times, corrosive, that in and of itself needs to stop. And if this event can kind of shock us all back to our senses and start getting us to treat each other as humans again, then that could be one small outcome. I don't know that they're connected. I don't know that they're not connected. But I don't think that us treating each other better should hinge on whether or not this person had a particular thought in his head when he did the horrible thing he did.
Dan, what do you think about the sheriff's remarks?
I think the sheriff had very poor timing, and he picked a bad forum for it. It was just too early. This was all going to come up eventually, and this is, down where I'm from in Green Valley and Sahuarita, this is the crux of the debate there right now, and we've run plenty of letters to the editor on both sides of this. But I think what Sarah said is very key, is will this change us? And this is, of course, what the president was calling for on Wednesday night, and I think it may change individuals, but I don't think it's going to change the course of the nation, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't necessarily disagree with what the sheriff said. I disagreed with the timing of what he said. I don't think that 8 hours after that shooting, when people are desperate for information about the shooting, that he needed to bring that up, because it immediately changed the subject, and that wasn't the time to change that subject. We needed to know who Jared Loeffner was and what they knew about him, and we needed to know the conditions of the people that had been shot and how they were doing, and that's what we were hoping for, and instead we got that a little bit from him, but then we also got the politics.
I think also in the course of doing his job, and just over the years, he and Gabby Giffords are, I think, good friends.
They're very good friends. So, they've known each other for so many years.
So I kind of try to cut him a break in the sense that, yes, he is a law enforcement official, and yes, you would hope that a person could separate, but I don't know how you really can in some situations. So was the timing bad? That's depends on your point of view, I guess. I don't know that, but Mark is exactly right. It changed the focus from what we can need to do and need to do with gun laws and mental health system and how we can keep this from happening again, if that's even possible, to what one guy said, and it just became a focal point, and it's a distraction.
Got about a minute and a half. Quickly, we'll weigh in with each of you. Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. Where does the story now go from here? I would assume most of the national media will be packing up and taking off now by this weekend.
We're continuing to look for local angles, and we are going to do something positive with this, and we are going to take a step toward healing at least our little corner of the world, and we have people who are on board with it, and I'm real excited about it.
Sarah Garrett Gasson, what about the Star? How will your coverage perhaps change now after we bury our dead here?
Well, I'm an editorial writer, and we have decided that our two priorities going forward are going to be examining the mental health system in Arizona and what changes need to be made, and as well as examining the gun laws in Arizona.
Guns, sales, or weapons like the one used in the Gifford shooting are flying off the shelves in Mesa and Phoenix.
Yeah, and that tends to always happen when something like this happens. There's this belief that the society will now crack down on gun access, but as long as there's the Second Amendment, people's gun rights are going to be fine. What this really is not an issue about political rhetoric. It's not about guns. It is about mental health, and we've been through this before with Nick Delitzsch and with
Robert
the U of A and Robert Flores,
yes.
And we still haven't solved the problem, and it needs to get solved.
We've got to run. That was Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com, Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Thank you all for sharing your comments on this very horrible week here in Tucson, Arizona. We'll be back with Weekend Watch.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
And it's time for Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. Each Friday morning, we'll be joined by Matt Russell, Tucson publicist and host of the weekly radio show On the Menu Live, which airs Thursday afternoons at 5 here on KJLL. Matt, welcome to the Buckmaster Show, and I think you, along with a lot of us, will be using this weekend, Matt, for reflection on events of the past week.
Indeed, Bill, and I just want to salute you for your coverage of the proceedings and the developments this week. I mean, the what you've done to help inform our listeners and to look at all sides of these issues and really demonstrate in a very real way, Bill, how this community has come together in times of tragedy. I just wanted to say my hat's off to you.
Thank you so much, Matt. And I do want to mention for the Buckmaster Show listeners, a Walk for Peace taking place Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to honor Congresswoman Giffords and the others who died or who were injured last Saturday. Quickly, that Walk for Peace starts at McCormick Place. That's 2950 North Columbus, and the walk will end at the Congresswoman's office at Pima and Swan, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And I know, Matt, a lot of people have found that this has been very helpful to go to the Congresswoman's office, leave flowers or whatever, or go to UMC where that whole lawn looks like it is a tribute area.
Indeed, Bill. I had the opportunity to take my family to UMC a couple of nights ago, and what was striking to me was, you know, all walks of life, people at every age, from every ideology, they come together and they celebrate the unity of this community, and that was just something that was very difficult for me to put into words. So I would strongly encourage all of your listeners to take some time over this weekend, bring your family, your children down to UMC and just have a quiet reflection remember those we have lost and you continue to be in prayer for those who are still on their healing journey.
Talking with Matt Russell of the KJLL show On the Menu Live, which airs Thursday afternoons at 5. How have you been dealing with this? I know you're a parent. You have some beautiful children. How are you dealing with it, Matt?
Indeed. I mean, I have a 16-year-old son and I have a 12-year-old daughter. And, we watch the developments on TV and, it brings it very close to home, Bill. I mean, Gabby and I have been good friends for 10 years. I've worked with Judge Roll for many years. In fact, as I speak with you now, I'm in the parking lot of the church where Judge Roll's funeral is about to get underway in here in just about 5 minutes. But I think part of the encounter that, again, why I recommend going down to UMC is particularly for kids, because you can see developments on the television and hear about them on the radio and read them in the newspaper. But until you get down there and experience that firsthand, that really was a remarkable experience for both my children. So as a father and as a husband and as a son, I mean, I think it's it really sort of provides this multidimensional encounter that you just can't put into words.
Matt, I've only got about 40 seconds left. There are some folks that want to do some restaurant-oriented activities. There is something going on. Is it tomorrow?
Yeah, indeed, a Saturday. Those of us who have celebrated Janos Wilder's culinary artistry now have the chance, Bill, to sort of get a behind-the-scenes look at what he's done. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Janos Restaurant is the first of his cooking series, has been returning. For only $50, you get the chance to cook with Janos, actually have the food prepared. It has some wine pairings, and you get to take the recipes home with you. So again, $50 for the cooking class tomorrow at Janos Restaurant at 1 o'clock. The number to call for reservations, Bill, is 615-6100.
Okay, Matt, we're going to have to run. On the Menu Live next Thursday, you will be where?
I'm going to be broadcasting live from Sauce Restaurant on Anna and Oracle in our ongoing pilgrimage to find the best pizza in Tucson. It's going to be a fun show, Bill.
Matt Russell, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger, an associate certified public accountant located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, our producer, Rosemary Brandt, and our marketing director, Deborah Howard, I am Bill Buckmaster wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Hello, you're on the air.
KJLL, South Tucson.